All right, right now we're going to switch gears a little bit, hook up with Eric Name of the of ESPN Milwaukee, covers the Milwaukee Bucks, and obviously a big deal just the other day, I guess it was the other night, as Malcolm Brogdon was named Rookie of the Year, and obviously we're right down here near UVA and followed him throughout his entire college career, and he was such a great player for UVA and so, you know, beloved by UVA fans everywhere, that to see his success continue at the NBA level is absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, really, to be honest with you, Eric, for it to continue at such a great rate right off the bat, kind of surprising. First ever player drafted in the second round to win the Rookie of the Year, you know, award. And that's pretty big deal and high praise for him, no?
Absolutely. And one, thanks for having me. But just looking at Brogdon, man, going into this year, I was flooded with UVA fans in my Twitter mentions telling me, this guy's going to be great for you. He's going to be an impact player. And I think a lot of Bucks fans thought the same thing. I was a little bit more cautious. I was thinking, you know, it's a second-round pick. He's not the first second-round pick that a fan base has gotten excited about. And really, at the start of the season, you see them make a quick trade for Michael Carter-Williams and move him out of town and pretty much just put Malcolm in a spot to succeed from the very beginning of the season. And he took it and ran with it. And throughout the season, like you said, it was a surprise. Every single time I kept asking, okay, is this the moment where he hits the rookie wall? Is this the moment where he stops shooting so well from the three-point line? Is this the moment where all of this just becomes too much for him? And even going into the playoffs, I was asking those questions. And again and again and again, he was up and ready to go, and he handled every single question I ever had about him. So it's just kind of crazy to see a guy come in and have that impact in his first year.
When you look at Malcolm Brogdon and his big fit with the organization, obviously Giannis Antetokounmpo is most improved player and probably the key piece that's a building block going forward. Where does Malcolm fit into that cornerstone, especially in this era where it's often a big three or a big four leading the way?
I think he fits really well. The big thing is he fits with Giannis. The idea with Giannis here in Milwaukee is he's going to be your point forward, whatever you may want to call him. He's going to be the guy that is kind of serving as the creator, initiator of the offense. And if that's the case, you're looking for a point guard that can play off ball, that can be a secondary playmaker, that can hit open threes. And Malcolm showed that he could do all those things this year. So whether or not he's a part of a big three, a big four going forward, I don't know if that necessarily matters, because in Milwaukee, your fit with Giannis is paramount. If you fit with Giannis, well, you're going to be just fine in the organization. They're going to prioritize you and make sure that you come along for that ride. And everything Malcolm has done to this point would suggest that he fits along very well with Giannis.
What is the biggest thing about either Malcolm's game or, you know, maybe even just his personality that may have surprised you and others in Milwaukee? Because, again, you know, I mean, ultimate team guy, class act, hardworking, I mean, great basketball IQ. And that's why I'm sure you were bombarded with info from UVA fans, because they'd seen this for, you know, four straight years. And I'm wondering, I mean, you said he kept answering all your questions. Was there one thing or one moment or one part of his game or personality that really surprised you the most?
One part in one game and one moment I can all think of. It was December, and he goes baseline and throws down a dunk on LeBron James. That was not something I was ready for. I had heard, okay, he's a hard worker, he's a smart guy, he's mature, he's a team player, he's a leader, he's all these things, but that's not dunking on LeBron James. There's plenty of hard workers in the NBA. Dudes just don't do that. So to see him in that game go baseline, have that dunk, and kind of have that moment, to me, that was like, okay, this guy isn't just going to be getting by on his hard work and his grit. This is a guy that can actually play the game at the NBA level and has the athleticism necessary to do that. And I think that was one of the things I was concerned about going into the season. Was he quick enough? Was he strong enough? Was he going to be able to play every single night at the NBA level at the point guard spot? And, yeah, a blow-by and dunk on LeBron James, Yeah, that one got me by surprise, and that one was a bit of an announcement that, hey, I'm here, and I'm in this Rookie of the Year race, and I'm going to be a player in the NBA.
Now, I don't remember that dunk specifically, but it wasn't one of those like KD where he just drives down the lane and LeBron gets out of the way, right?
Oh, no. Yeah. LeBron was he blew by him a little bit, and LeBron is obviously so good at those chase-down blocks, and in my mind, I was thinking, oh, no. This is not going to end well. This is going to get pinned on the backboard. And he hammered it home, and I know I asked him after the game and said, okay, in your mind, were you thinking, okay, I have to go up hard with this? Like, LeBron's going to be coming. And he said, honestly, I didn't know LeBron was there. He's like, if I knew LeBron was there, I'd probably dribble out and just go to the other side. He's like, but I knew I might have a step, and I didn't think LeBron was coming, so I just threw it down, and yeah, it was on LeBron's head.
Eric Name with us here from ESPN Milwaukee on a Waterdog Wednesday here on the Sports Line. Eric, that play obviously got a lot of attention for folks as far as what Malcolm Brogdon did during this season. Without that play, do you think he would have still won Rookie of the Year?
I almost think so, just because obviously that helped grab some attention, but he had just done such a nice job this entire season. And with Embiid, to me, that was the other real challenger. Sarge, you can say, was in the conversation, but I don't really buy that. I think it's between Malcolm and Embiid, and maybe that speaks to maybe a bit of a weaker rookie class, but the fact that Embiid only played 31 games, I know we talked about it a lot here in Milwaukee. It just didn't seem like that was enough. And again, anyone can have their arbitrary threshold for how many games is enough to say this guy is the best rookie or the Rookie of the Year, whatever you want to say. But 31 games just did not feel like enough to any of us. And we kind of thought that was Malcolm's award. And you just look at what he did and the fact that he did it for a playoff team, and he was consistent all year, and he went from a bench player to a starter, and he was able to contribute in the playoffs as well. Like, there was just so many things that screamed to you, okay, this is maybe not what the Rookie of the Year normally is. Normally it's just, okay, who has the most points per game? Let's give him the award. This was, okay, this guy's making a contribution on a playoff team, and he actually means something to this team. And it just seemed like, no matter what, it was difficult for me to construct an argument. And again, I cover Malcolm every night, so maybe I am a bit biased there, but it was hard for me to kind of try to construct an argument for anyone else in that conversation.
Now, with that being said, is there also maybe an element that people tend to overlook him because he was a four-year player in college, and so many of these guys in the NBA that come in, especially with the hype and expectations, are on the total opposite end, a lot of talent, but needing more time to develop?
Absolutely, and throughout the year, there was media members that I talked to that were kind of hoping, okay, can a first-rounder get something done here? Like, not that it's a bad thing to give it to a second-rounder. It's just going to be strange going forward to see if Malcolm ends up being the best player from that draft, because most of the time, the best player from a draft isn't going to be a second-rounder. And so, yeah, I do think there's definitely some aspect of it, of him getting overlooked. And also, I mean, Milwaukee's a small market. There's no doubt about it as far as NBA teams go. So, again, there was just kind of a bunch of reasons, I thought, that came together for him to maybe get looked over, maybe not get quite the attention that he deserved. But like I said, for me, it was he kept answering questions for me all year. And I think for voters and for the national media and for people around the country, it was the same thing, that okay, we can't deny this guy. He keeps showing up. He keeps playing well. He keeps having these performances. And then I honestly think the capper was he had a game winner in Boston in the final 2 weeks of the year, and it was crunch time against, Celtics, one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. And he had no fear, went up, hit a jumper, and kind of, again, just asserted himself into the national conversation and said, all right, I'm for real. You are voting for me for Rookie of the Year.
Just another minute or two with Eric Name of ESPN. Covers the Milwaukee Bucks here, joining us on the Sports Line. Eric, you talked about Giannis and it being his team moving forward and Malcolm being a great fit there. Look ahead. I mean, this was a playoff team this year. Obviously, a lot of young talent. Look ahead down the road. What do you see developing from this? Because clearly, as we've seen the last couple days in the NBA, lots of moves are being made, and you know, we're seeing more of these quote-unquote super teams being created. Chris Paul now headed to the Houston Rockets. We know what Golden State does. Everybody's trying to get Paul George. You know, touch on that and how the Bucks kind of fit into this whole thing moving forward.
I think they're going to fit into that conversation almost no matter what, just on sheer power of will, because Giannis is, this season he was a top 10 NBA player. He tied for 7th in MVP voting. He's 22 years old. I think going forward, maybe as soon as next year, he's a top 5 player in the NBA. And if he continues to develop, some other guys get older, all of a sudden you're looking at a guy. I know Kevin Durant mentions it all the time, but Kevin Durant earlier this week said, I guarantee that guy wins an MVP at some point. So no matter what, to me, it feels like the Bucks are going to be in that conversation. But with that being said, they have a lot of work to do. You can't just have a superstar and get yourself in the championship conversation anymore. You need multiple. So that means Jabari Parker needs to turn out, and this is a guy that's torn two ACLs. That means Chris Middleton needs to return from his injury. That means maybe Thon Maker needs to become one of those guys that comes into the core three as a Serge Ibaka type. Like, they need more talent, and maybe those guys exist on the roster, or maybe there's trades that need to be made, but they need to tool up, and they need to get some upgrades in all those spots, because they're going to have a legitimate number one as far as number ones go in this league. So that 2, 3, 4, 5 all needs to get stronger, and they need to find a way to just not necessarily create a super team, but create a stronger team, and then kind of see where they go from there.
Eric, final question for you as you wrap things up here, and appreciate your time on this Water Dog Wednesday. You mentioned needing to get more players. In the overall landscape of the NBA, how challenging is that for a franchise like Milwaukee to bring in somebody to pair with Malcolm Brogdon, to pair with Giannis, and to actually have that group of players, given there's not necessarily the glamour around that franchise that there is around others?
Yeah, I think when you talk about the NBA, there's three ways to get talent. So either the draft, free agency, or trades. I think trades are possible for the Bucks. I think the draft is possible for the Bucks. Free agency, to me, just does not seem an avenue that they can go down to add talent. Just because you look at this team, Greg Monroe, now 2 summers ago, was the biggest free agent signing in the history of the organization. And Greg Monroe, fine player, but that's not Kevin Durant. That's not Chris Paul. That's not one of those upper echelon guys. He's a nice player, but he's not on that same level. So to me, it's not going to be about free agency. It's about finding assets in the draft, drafting well, and then turning those assets into maybe a trade. Maybe it's just someone that pops up out of nowhere and shows that superstar talent. So it's going to be really tough, don't get me wrong. But if your base is a top 5 NBA player, I think you're off to a good start.
Eric, thank you, man. We appreciate the time and catching up and the update on Malcolm Brogdon. And we look forward to staying in touch down the road. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Eric Name, ESPN, covers the Milwaukee Bucks.